Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Good to have you with us. Coming up a little bit later this hour, we remember Kirk Douglas, the acting icon who died yesterday at the age of 103. We'll play an excerpt of my interview with him from a number of years ago in which he talks about the significance of the film Spartacus, in which he starred and which he also produced, which had significant influence on breaking Hollywood's blacklist. But we begin by looking at the aftermath of the Senate acquittal of President Trump on the two impeachment counts presented to the Senate by the House of Representatives. Right now, the president is continuing to speak at a celebration event at the White House.
This is really not a news conference. It's not a speech. It's not anything. It's just news conference. It's not a speech. It's not anything. It's just we're sort of, it's a celebration because we have something that just worked out. I mean, it worked out. We went through hell unfairly, did nothing wrong, did nothing wrong. I've done things wrong in my life, I will admit. Not purposely, but I've done things wrong. But this is what the end result is.
The president then held up a copy of today's Washington Post with the headline, Trump acquitted. The president then mentioned the manager, lead manager of the House impeachment, Adam Schiff.
Right at the beginning, they said, sir, you have nothing to worry about. All of the facts are on your side. I said, you don't understand. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. And that was really true. They made up facts. A corrupt politician named Adam Schiff made up my statement to the Ukrainian president. He brought it out of thin air, just made it up. They say he's a screenwriter, a failed screenwriter. He tried to go into, unfortunately, he went into politics after that.
Just minutes ago, President Trump at the White House. Joining us is Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff from the Burbank, Los Angeles area, the lead prosecutor manager for the House impeachment counts. Congressman Schiff, thank you for joining us today. First, your response to the president's comments.
Well, I think failed screenwriter may be the nicest thing he's ever said about me. It was I guess it's still ongoing, a strange exhibition by the president, but we've gotten used to them. This was his way of thanking Mitch McConnell for essentially depriving the Senate of hearing from witnesses and holding the first trial in impeachment history without witnesses. But nonetheless, I think what is really overshadowing all of this for the president is that the last Republican nominee for president, Mitt Romney, became the first senator in U.S. history to vote to convict and remove a president of his own party. We had hoped that we might reach even a single Republican senator, that they might decide to be the David that took on Goliath and change the course of history. And that's what we witnessed yesterday. And I remain in awe of the courage that he displayed. And I think it's a vindication of the optimism the framers had that people have sufficient virtue to be self-governing. And, you know, even as we're disappointed that most Republican senators did not take their oath as seriously as Mitt Romney, I leave this process optimistic about the future.
You knew going in that it was a tremendous long shot that the president would be removed from office. So now, looking back a day after acquittal, what do you think this whole process accomplished?
Well, I think it provided some constraint on the president. It's the most powerful censure that the House has. And as the senators acknowledged, including, I think, probably close to a dozen Republican senators at this point, we proved him guilty. We proved with overwhelming evidence that he betrayed our national security by withholding hundreds of millions of dollars in military aid from an ally at war in order to get that ally's help to cheat in the election. Now, they weren't willing to remove him for office, but nonetheless, we proved the case. And I think that will have some deterrent impact, although he clearly, as you might expect, was and is completely unrepentant. We thought Susan Collins' hope that he would learn something from this and repent was an illusory hope. And no sooner had she said it that the president proved that anyone that places any faith in this president's capacity for self-reflection or change hasn't been watching him for the last 3 years. But nonetheless, I think we provided the most powerful constraint we could. We lived up to our constitutional duties in the House, even if the Senate was not willing to uphold theirs.
John Bolton, former National Security Advisor, had said he was ready to testify before the Senate if he was called as a witness in the trial. I understand that you reached out to him to see if he would file an affidavit with the House. What was his response?
His response was no, he wouldn't. And he'll have a lot of explaining to do about why he is willing to say what he is in a book, but not willing to say it under oath when it might have made a difference in the Senate trial. Now, he was apparently willing to testify, and the senators did not want to hear it. As one of the senators put it, you know, essentially, the House already proved the case 13 ways. Do we need to prove 14 ways? But nonetheless, it's important for the American people, I think, to know the full scope of the president's misconduct and that of people around him. It's a tragic fact that owing to the Senate's actions, though, it looks like we're going to have to wait until the book comes out.
We're talking with Congressman Adam Schiff, the Democrat from Burbank, Los Angeles area, who was the lead House manager in the impeachment trial of President Trump in the U.S. Senate. We're speaking with him the day after the president acquitted by the majority of senators. As Congressman Schiff just mentioned, Utah Senator Mitt Romney, a former Republican presidential candidate, was the only one to break from his party on the one article of impeachment, and in that case, abuse of power. He voted in favor of conviction, not to the obstruction of justice with the president refusing to cooperate with the House impeachment hearings. Congressman, I wanted to ask you about other investigations that Democrats in the House could launch at this point. What are some of the avenues that you're considering investigating the president?
We haven't made any decision about next steps. We wanted to put all our focus on the trial and presenting the most powerful case that we could. We'll now sit down with our leadership and with our caucus and discuss next steps. You know, on the one hand, it's going to be very important to continue to vindicate Congress's power to do oversight. At the same time, we want to continue to put our legislative agenda first and foremost, making sure that people have good health care and affordable health care, that those with pre-existing conditions don't lose access to care, that people can earn a decent living and enjoy a quality of life like their parents' generation. So that's our foremost priority, and how we balance the two will be a decision that we'll all have to make together.
I don't want to, in asking this question, do anything that would cause your safety to be compromised. But there was an incident earlier this morning, some concerns about a substance at your office. That was all cleared and not an issue. But I can only imagine the kind of vitriol, potentially even threats, that you and members of your staff have been receiving. What can you say about that?
Well, you know, it's, I think, a tragic result of a president who speaks in, you know, the language of threat. And there are people out there that appear ready to act at times on his urgings. So we've had to take precautions. And, you know, happily, I think that we got the all clear today from a suspicious package. But you know, it's a fact of life these days. I can only imagine what Mitt Romney and his family must go through right now. You know, we soldier on. Nothing this president can do that's going to deter me from doing my job as best I see it.
You undoubtedly saw a couple days ago the Gallup poll results showing President Trump's approval rating at 49%, the highest it's been, and the Republican Party's approval rating by Americans at the highest level since 2005. Are you concerned at all that impeachment might have backfired in the response of the public to the process?
No, you know, we didn't do this with a calculus about how it would affect the 2020 election. Our focus was on doing our duty and making sure that the guardrails of our democracy remain strong. They've been under, I think, a continual assault from the president. And I think if you look at the trajectory over the last several months, where we went from a strong majority of Americans who believe that we shouldn't even undertake an investigation, an impeachment investigation, to a strong majority that feels it was absolutely necessary that we do so, and a narrow majority that believes the president should have been convicted and removed from office. That's a pretty strong change for the country in terms of whatever momentary impact the verdict may have on the president. I think it will be momentary. This president shows a consistent self-defeating practice of continually dividing the country and alienating people. And sadly, he's gone back to that this morning, and we can fully expect that to continue.
Congressman Adam Schiff of the Burbank, Los Angeles area, joining us this morning on Air Talk, the day after the Senate acquittal of President Trump in his impeachment trial. Congressman, it seems that for many of the Republican senators, they were willing to cede that President Trump did withhold the security funding to Ukraine on the hopes that they would announce an investigation into the Bidens. But their conclusion, at least as stated, was that that didn't rise to the level of removing the president from office, particularly 9 months in front of an election where the American public could determine how serious an offense that was. Your response to the reasoning there and that conclusion by many of the Republican senators?
Well, I think that the real motivation here was betrayed by the fact that they didn't even want to hear witnesses. The fact that you had someone with a direct conversation with the president, that being his national security advisor, John Bolton, about this scheme, and they refused to hear what he had to say. This goes beyond, well, we think he did something wrong and inappropriate, but it wasn't impeachable, to we don't want to see any further evidence of this. We don't want the American people to see any further evidence of this because we know that we're not doing impartial justice, because the oath required us to convict if we found him guilty. And we'd rather not have any more proof come out that will make that decision hold up even poorly with the passage of time. You know, I think that Mitt Romney will leave this process with his head held high. I think many senators will not, and I think already feel diminished by seeing the bravery of one of their colleagues.
Do you, when you look at the whole issue of witnesses, give any credence to the Republican view that to call more witnesses would just reinforce what even Republican senators, many of them already concluded, that the president did this, that what is reportedly in the transcript of John Bolton's book about the quid pro quo, that for them, this was not something that Bolton necessarily needed to testify or needed to be proven. Despite that, they still thought he shouldn't be impeached.
Well, two things. One, you know, they needed to keep in mind the precedent that they were setting, which is an impeachment trial, the first in history, without witnesses. And that henceforth, if the president controls the party that is in the majority, they can prevent witnesses from coming to a trial. That essentially the Constitution's injunction that the Senate shall try the case does not need to be followed. So the precedent they set was a terrible one, which I think they will come to regret. But more than that, if they felt that they had sufficient evidence to convict and yet they weren't willing to do it, and they took the position that rather than make that cast that hard vote, we'll let the voters clean this up, they were voting to deprive the voters of information that could inform their judgment. They're voting to say, we don't want these documents to come out, these hundreds of documents the White House has been concealing. We don't want not just John Bolton, but we don't want Mick Mulvaney or Secretary Pompeo or any of these other administration officials that have to testify under oath, because we don't want the voters to see just how corrupt this administration is. To me, that's inexcusable. But that's essentially, I think, what they were saying.
Congressman, thank you very much for joining us today. And on a personal note, I hope you get a chance to get some rest here. It's been obviously burning the candle at both ends for you lately.
Yes, that's true, and I certainly hope to.
Thank you very much. Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff, Burbank, Los Angeles, Glendale, portion of Pasadena, and the lead House manager in the prosecution of President Trump in the U.S. Senate. Yesterday, the majority of the Senate, largely along party lines, voting to acquit the president, and he remains in office. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Coming up, we'll debate whether high-rise apartment buildings that were built before mandatory fire sprinklers should have to be retrofitted with those sprinklers now. We'll be back in 1 minute.